So let's review. Zok the Mishnah, mitzvah begodliyab. It's a mitzvah for the oldest brother to do the yibum. Vimkodem hakotn zacha. And if the younger brother went ahead and did it himself, then he received the mitzvah. The Gemara begins by presenting a brisa that teaches the source for this din, that it's a mitzvah for the oldest brother to do the yibum. The pasuk says, V'haya habachara shetelid yakum hashem achiv v'loyimcha shmai miyisrael. Simply understood, the pasuk is telling us that the firstborn son of the Yavam and Yavama should receive the name of the deceased brother, and thereby the deceased brother's name won't be erased. However, the Braisa interprets this pasuk as a continuation of the previous pasuk that says, Yavama yavo yaleha v'lekacha loy le'isha b'yivma, that the Yavam should marry the Yavama, and in reference to this, the Torah says, V'hoya b'char, mikan shemitzu begod l'yavam, that the oldest brother should do the mitzvah of Yibum. The Braisa continues to explain the pasuk and derives various dinim from it. Asher teleid, he shall marry the Yavama if she is able to give birth. This comes to exclude an idleness that cannot have children. Yakum Hashem Achiv l'nachlo. The Yavam will inherit the estate of his deceased brother. V'lo yimoche shmoi, prat l'sris, sheshmoi mochoi. That the Yavam only marries the Yavama if he is able to have children. This excludes a sris who is unable to have children. The Braisa also teaches us that the reason we do not interpret the pasuk Yakum Hashem Achiv literally to name the child after the deceased brother, but rather the lenachlo, is based on the gzeirah shava. Since here regarding Yibum it says Yakum Hashem Achiv, and regarding children that Yosef might have after Ephraim and Menashe, the pasuk says Hashem Achem Yikar Benachalosam, that they will inherit Eretz Yisrael as part of Ephraim and Menashe. Mashem Ha'amr LaHalonachlo Avshem Ha'amr Kan LaNachlo. Just as there refers to inheritance, so to here refers to inheritance. Rava explains, Avagaf de b'chala terah kula, e mikru yetim de pshutai, hacha so gzer shava afikze mipshati legamri. Even though generally the pasuk never departs from its simple meaning, here a gzer shava comes and completely removes the pasuk from its simple meaning. The Gemara then moves on to pose a series of questions on the braisa. All of these questions center on the fact that the pasuk used the term bechor, which means the firstborn, and not the oldest brother. Frek the Gemara, Eime bechor liyabim, pashut liyabim. Let us say that a bechor has the mitzvah of yibim, but all other brothers do not. The Gemara answers that this cannot be the case, since the Torah teaches us eishes achiv shlohei b'ilamayim, that a brother that was born after his older brother died without children does not do yibum. Now that brother is certainly not a bechor, and still the Torah needs to exclude him. This clearly shows us that the mitzvah of Yibim is not only for the Bechor. The Gemara then presents a number of other possible explanations. That the mitzvah of Yibim only applies if there is a Bechor in the family, but otherwise there is no mitzvah of Yibim. That if there is a Bechor and the younger brother went ahead and did the Yibim without permission, then it's not valid. But if there is no Bechor, then the Yibim of a younger brother is valid. When there is a Bechor, we first go to the oldest brother. But if there is no Bechor, any brother may do the Yibim. That only a Bechor who is Meyabim inherits the brother's estate, but a younger brother who is Meyabim does not inherit. The Gemara rejects each of these explanations based on Pesukim and concludes that the Pasuk teaches us that there is a mitzvah for the oldest brother to do the Yibim, but if a younger brother went ahead and performed the Yibim, it is valid. The Gemara concludes by asking, Vel Bechor dekar rachmano l'may helchasa. So why does the Torah refer to him as a Bechor? The Gemara answers, Ma Bechor ein enoitel baroke b'muchzuk, as a Bechor who only inherits Pishnayim, a double portion, from that which already was in the father's possession at the time of his death, but not from that which will potentially come into the estate after the death of the father, so too the Yavam only inherits that which already was in his deceased brother's possession, but not from potential income. The Gemara now moves on to the next Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah, Hanitan al Hashivcha v'nishtachra. If there were rumors about a man and a shivcha, and she was subsequently freed, or a man with a goya, and she subsequently converted, he's not permitted to marry this woman, so that people don't say that the rumor is true. Nevertheless, if he did marry her, he does not have to divorce her, since this is merely an issur d'rabban. However, hanitan al eishes ish, v'yitziuha metachas yadoi, af pishakonas yitzi. If there were rumors about a man and an eishes ish, and her husband was compelled to divorce her, The suspected adulterer may not marry her, and if he did, he must divorce her since it is an issa deraisa. The Gemara asks, Ha giyaris miyahavya? We see from our Mishnah that the woman is considered a giyaris. Veriminu, but we have a contradiction from a braisa which declares the giyaris invalid if one converts for one of the following reasons. In order to marry a Yid, to benefit from the prosperity of the Jews, for example, as in the times of David HaMelech, B'Shleim HaMelech, or Yemais HaMashiach, in order to avoid a plague, because he was told to in a dream, the Gemara answers, Ha'itma lo Amir B'Yitzchak, Halacha K'divoraimer Kulam Geirim Heim. We follow the opinion that the Geiris is valid. The Gemara proceeds to present a discussion regarding the second Halacha of our Mishnah. Hanitan al Eshes Ish, V'hoitzi'uhu Metachas Yodai, If a husband was compelled to divorce his wife because of rumors of adultery, the suspected adulterer may not marry her, and if he did, he must divorce her. We learn in the Braisa, in the case of Kala, rumors, we only say Yoitzi if the woman does not have children from her first marriage. However, if she has children from her first marriage, she does not have to be divorced by the suspected adulterer in the case of Kala. The reason for this is that by forcing them to divorce, we are confirming the rumors, and we are mitzi laz, casting doubt on the legitimacy of those children. The Braisa continues, Vimbo edei tuma afili yesh lo kama bonam teitze. However, in the case where there were edim that she did an avera, then even if she has many children, yoitzi. According to the first explanation, Rav agrees with the Braisa l'halacha. They merely disagree in the pshat of the Mishnah. Based on the word hanitan, the Braisa understands the Mishnah's ruling of Yoitzi to be speaking of bekala, rumors, and therefore only kishein labanim. Based on the word b'hoitzi uha, Rav understands the Mishnah's ruling of Yoitzi to be speaking of be'edim, witnesses, and therefore even kishyesh labanim. The Gemara presents an alternative explanation of Rav, that he actually disagrees with the Braisa l'halacha, and he holds that even in the case of Ein Labanim, we only say Yoitzi when they were Eidim. And the Braisa follows the opinion of Rebbe that in the case of Ein Labanim, we say Yoitzi even based on Kala. The Gemara concludes, Hilchos HaKavasei de Rav, the Hilchos HaKavasei de Rebbe. Sometimes we follow Rav, and sometimes we follow Rebbe. Ha b'kala de pasig, v'ha b'kala de lay pasig. If the rumor continued for more than a day and a half, then we follow Rebbe, and the husband must divorce his wife, even if there are no edim. If the rumor did not continue for more than a day and a half, then we follow Rav, and he must divorce her only if there were edim. This discussion continues on the next daf.